Welcome to this time together as we explore our faith in Jesus. I want to begin with a story from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. You probably know it pretty well. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. Think about what Jesus came to do. His mission was very simple. Jesus came to bring love and light to a world that was challenged by selfishness and darkness and death. He came to bring peace where there was conflict and confusion. Jesus' ministry, his life on earth, was a passionate sharing of love to change us so that we were no longer strangers and lonely people. He came to bring us into a powerful and permanent relationship with God and each other. It's like he came to create a perfect marriage that would never end. You know the story. Jesus' journey began with the dark skies over Bethlehem lit up by angels and a star. And his journey on earth culminated as he filled the darkness of death with the bright light of Easter. That's what Jesus' ministry was all about, for you and for me. And how Jesus went about beginning that search to call us, to gather us, to bring us together with him and each other. How Jesus went about beginning that search was in some ways similar to heading out on a date. We all know how that works. Think about how we have spent time trying to go find others with similar interests and visions and hopes and dreams. Others to get close to. And in a world that is increasingly private, disconnected, and full of dangers, Many people say it's so hard now, more difficult than ever, to find that special someone or a special anyone. All of us in different ways are searching for love. Where do we find it? Where have we found it? On the internet? In a chat room? A bar? At a wedding reception? At work? Where does one go to find love? What is the best way to find a partner? A friend? A soulmate? A spouse? When looking for the best that life has to offer, how does one go about finding what will make my life full and complete? You know the drill. It's never been an easy one. And those journeys are always full of surprises. And unfortunately, along the way, many have found out that things are not always what they seem to be. And sometimes there's a price to pay for looking for love in the wrong place. Jesus was different. He knew what he was looking for. He was looking for you. He was looking for me. And how Jesus set out on his journey of love to find us, to reach us, was a surprise. It was a surprise of all surprises. Remember how the journey began? We just heard the story. He went to, of all places, the empty, barren, shadowy place called the wilderness, where it was bitter cold at night, brutally hot at the day, full of spiders and snakes and scorpions, parched earth, no water. Well, that might seem to be the wrong place to begin his loving search. It was a perfect location to reveal the darkness and emptiness that he would overcome. Now, we just heard from Matthew how that search by Jesus began. You know, in the words of Matthew, he said that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. Why would God want Jesus to seek temptation? Why would he go there? It seems like the last thing a Messiah should willingly do. The wilderness seemed like the wrong place to get close to the love of God. I mean, think about our role as parents, our approach as we train our children to stay away from difficult situations. Avoid what you can't resist. How often did our parents tell us, why go looking for trouble? Well, why did Jesus do this? Why seek temptation? Isn't that going at his mission in the wrong way? and in the wrong place? There were no souls to save out in the desert, no people to heal. Nobody was out there. But it made perfect sense. When you think about it, because his temptation, the very first thing he did after his baptism, was to go be tempted because it was a dry run for his ministry, as he had to face and struggle with the roadblocks and the crossroads that would be erected by his demonic opponents to derail his mission. He faced from the beginning what could trip him up. He faced in the wilderness what could make him fail. He went there first. And in that story, as we hear it again from Matthew, God assures us that Jesus knew his opponent well and began his ministry doing battle with the same daily demonic blood, sweat, and tears struggles that all of us face. What a great account from Matthew for us to use as we begin our journey of Lent. Now, conventional wisdom would have told Jesus to stay away from the desert, steer clear of the devil, don't go near Calvary and a cross. And yet, if Jesus had let conventional wisdom be his guide, we would be left with no hope, no life, no peace. Now, in our day, conventional wisdom says that if we try hard, if we live a good life, nothing bad should happen. Well, so much for conventional wisdom. Life isn't perfect, and it often isn't easy. And Jesus began his ministry in a most difficult place of all, because that is where we daily live. The very beginning of Genesis in the Bible proclaims that paradise was lost once for all. It never can be brought back. So by default, we relive those stories by daily eating forbidden fruit. We're not perfect. This isn't paradise. It's not a perfect world, and we are not perfect people. No matter what we pretend, no matter what we say, we know that too often we ignore God, take God for granted, hide from God, or complain when God doesn't do what we demand, or when God doesn't give us what we feel we deserve. I never thought about it before, but this journey of Jesus into the wilderness, mirrored what happened in Genesis with the loss of paradise. That was the first record of climate change. As a perfect garden of love and peace became a wilderness of selfishness and sin and death. And so Jesus began his ministry in as broken a place as he could find, as dangerous a place as he could find, as tempting a place as he could find. Because that is where life is lived. To be human is to live with sin. And the assumption that I am more important than God. I mean, that's what we often think. Or at least I'm more important than the people around me. I mean, it's really tempting for that to be the place where we live. And that's where Jesus began his ministry, facing the same temptations. He went into the desert from the beginning of his ministry to make certain that everyone understands what the good news really is about. He began his ministry the way he ended it, facing the most difficult moments of all. He began his ministry in a garden become a wilderness. That's what a desert is. It's the aftermath of the loss of Eden. And his temptations were real. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He was all alone. He was cold. He endured all of that. And then on top of it, the tantalizing taunts of Satan. Just as we encounter every day. Satan came at Jesus with the stuff that could derail his ministry. We have different weak spots. Ours aren't as big. We all have different places of vulnerability. We know where we fail most often. Well, Jesus began his ministry by addressing the real tests that would make his rescue mission to earth fail. He showed that he was understanding his purpose and wasn't going to let us down, because he knows the real tests that can make us fail. Now, in this encounter with the devil, he was tempted to avoid suffering. Ignore the cross. Don't go there. Take the easy way out. He was tempted to avoid sacrifice and suffering and just take all of the riches that he really deserved. He was tempted to force God to make it easy. To make his ministry soft and cushy. But instead, Jesus lived by faith, and he surrendered himself completely into the care and keeping of his heavenly Father. He ignored the voice coming out of the wilderness. He ignored those temptations that were so tantalizingly tasty. And instead live by faith as an example. This reminds me of an old country song called Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places. I mean, isn't that how we live? We look for love. We look for affirmation. We look for success, for security. And often it's in the wrong place or for the wrong reason. We look for what we think we need, where we would place it, rather than looking around and realizing what God has already given and where God has placed it. You know that's true. You know that's how we live. Thank you. if Fox News reporters or people from CNN or BBC or even any of us had been standing there watching Jesus head into the desert, we would all say, hey, he's looking for love in the wrong place. Just as later on, his journey to the cross was dismissed by many as being the wrong way to become Messiah. And yet it is in the wrong places, the broken places, the desert places, that God's power is most desperately needed and useful. And once we understand how much Jesus loves us, that he endured what he did just for you and me, and then see how he conquered even our death, we are free to live in a brand new way. That's the reason for this short season we call Lent. To focus very closely at this journey that Jesus took for us. You know, it's a lot easier to get ready for Christmas than it is for Easter. Because sacrifices, humility, loving service, meditative prayer, that's not where the world goes for love. And yet that is the way of the cross. But the way of the cross leads to an empty tomb. Think about what you did to get ready for Christmas. How much fun that was, how easy it was. Well, the preparations for Easter are different. And yet, why? Why are we not just as ready for Easter as we were for Christmas? Because our Lenten journey is our opportunity to find love in the right place. Well, think about it a different way. Would you run a marathon or take a final exam without the right preparation? Well, why then would we ever seek to live through our own wisdom, power, or strength alone? That's the message of Lent. Faith doesn't look for temptation, but looks at it in a new and powerful way. Lent reminds us that at the weakest, most tempting moment is when God is closest to us. You know, in that country song I mentioned, there's a line that says, I was looking for love in all the wrong places, was all alone, no love in sight. But it's in those wrong places where Jesus began his ministry. So that no matter what we face or endure, his love is always in sight. So maybe the wilderness of all places is the best place for us to understand where true love begins.